You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Welcome to Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, the place for you to break free from the norm and celebrate your life, because what we believe in our hearts becomes our reality. This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman.
Welcome to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman. And as you know, this show is all about that ease and that betterment in your life. So I have a little magical nugget for you today. And I was thinking, I've been listening and I've been on social media more than I should be. And I've been noticing some things that we're forgetting a very important word. And that's kindness. You know, at this time, I'll tell you how it started. I'll tell you right now. It started when I saw all the posts just condemning people who didn't want to wear masks. Normally, nice, pretty posts of puppies turned into condescending, judgmental ways of why isn't he wearing a mask or she wearing a mask? And vice versa, those that were wearing a mask got on there personally and said, I don't want to wear a mask. Why are you judging me? And so it started with that. But then all of a sudden I'm getting posts and I'm seeing things with people just yelling at other people, just yelling. Now, I know that this pandemic has been confusing. I understand that a lot of us are sick of being inside. We're now starting to open up. We are, but we're also, you know, I know we're also sick of the information going all over the place. We don't know who to believe anymore. There's so much information out there. We're not getting a straight line of what to do. That's why everybody's doing their own thing. You know, as we start to open up and start our jobs again, start eating out and start to grocery shop, you're going to see people without masks. You're going to see people with masks. You're going to see people getting together and talking. You're going to see people staying far apart. You're going to see a lot of different things. And I think at this time, with all this time that we've been separated from each other, where we have had a lot of fear, where we have wondered what's going to happen, some of us might have even known people who have died. Wouldn't it be better to start this world with kindness? Kindness, I always say, is the sugar of the world. It can change a person's day. One smile, one true heartfelt hello can change a person's day from going horrible to something nice. Isn't it time for us to think, how do I want to step out my door and start this world? And here's the secret of kindness. Kindness is like giving. And so because you are giving, you're giving a very precious gift. You're giving your heart in every small act that you do. And there's the law of receiving that says things will come back to you in just that way. But the biggest secret, I think, is what it does for you. Because it can suddenly put you on this higher vibration, help you feel good. You know, like you kind of want to dance. It puts a little skip in your step. It puts a little, because we are all connected, guys. So when we are kind to someone else, we actually feel that kindness right back. And it just boosts us up. And before you know it, you'll be humming down the road. You know, you'll be just wanting to be nicer. And isn't that more important than anything? Isn't it more important to be this place that people know that you have an open heart and you are caring, instead of judgmental and harsh? I'll let you think about it. But really, I'm putting a key word for this week, kindness. And with that, I have an incredible young woman on today. Now, I'm going to make sure I get her name right. And she is right here, so she will correct me if I'm wrong. You know how I am with names. But her name is Cassandra Bodzak, right? Yep. I did it. Yes. And she has been called an award-winning thought leader and intuitive coach by Forbes magazine, and a spiritual leader by Well and Good. Look at this. What she does is she helps women with to come from their fear, to get away from that and find out what it is that's holding them back so that they can start to lead happier, more confidence and fun-filled lives. She has been on ABC. Ah, and this is so cool. She has actually been on The Taste with Bourdain, Anthony Bourdain, which, oh, that must have been fun. Oh, yeah. My gosh. And then Shape with Eating Well, Huffington Post, and also Teen Vogue, Thrive, all these different places. But what she's doing is she's just helping women to break free of the fear we seem to have so often. So with that, hello, Cassandra. What a beautiful name.
Aw, thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Oh, I'm happy to have you. It's very nice to have you on. So with this, all right, so tell me, first of all, you know, you everyone has their story. Nobody just wakes up in the morning and says, okay, I'm going to help women conquer their fear. And I can get up in the morning and say, okay, I'm going to bring everybody to the light.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just doesn't happen. And so what was it that brought you to where you are now?
You know, I think there were so many little pivotal moments that, well, not little, some of them were quite large pivotal moments, but there was a few pivotal moments in my journey. And, you know, for me, especially around the work that I do with women and their fears and helping them really just start living the life that I feel like they were destined to, the life that their soul has been wanting them to lead, happened when I was 25. When I was 25, my younger brother got diagnosed with a terminal autoimmune condition, and he's stable right now. But for those next like few years of my life, we mostly spent them in hospitals. And it was like the biggest like earthquake to my existence at that point. Wow. I'm very close with my brother. Not that that would even matter, but he was like my best friend growing up, and he still is very close. And so I really just like shook me, and I went into a bit of a depression, it's not really a depression when it's sadness when I guess, you know, something like that happens. Right.
Yes,
but it put me in this funk that I wasn't familiar with. And that's when I really started. That's when I had like my bathroom floor talk to God moment. Like, I don't know how I'm supposed to go on anymore. I really, for the first time in my life, I was always a super ambitious kid and had all these like dreams and things I wanted to do. And then it was almost like all of that just felt like nothing mattered. Like nothing mattered anymore when I was like in the face of like someone I love's like mortality. And it was through that journey that's where they say like the books fell off the shelves. Well, I heard, and I was praying and crying that night. And before that moment, I was raised Catholic, but I didn't have like, you know, I wasn't the person that was talking to God all day, you know, like that really wasn't it, but I was just so desperate. And I was like, someone's got to help me. Right. And I heard meditate. And so I started meditating. I found like YouTube videos. I didn't know what I was doing at first. Found like a Buddhist monastery in Brooklyn at the time where I was living. I went to like different classes, you know, and that's when I started doing A Course in Miracles. That's when Louise Hay fell off the shelf, Wayne Dyer, all of those, you know, all of those books started kind of pouring in, and I started just diving fully into it. But the miracle that happened after doing that spiritual work was that I became so conscious of following the things that brought me joy. It was like I was more tuned in than ever to the radar, to the things that mattered. And I realized at the time I'd had a blog that I started because I had food allergies and my whole journey with my own body and loving my body. And I was an actress at the time. I was doing, you know, TV and independent films and supporting myself there.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I just felt like I was completely obsessed with my blog and completely disinterested in my acting career because I felt like I was making a difference in women's lives with the things that I was sharing on the blog. And that, to me, became my North Star. And it was through that, you know, my business developed and my coaching developed and all of that. But it really wasn't, you know, at that time, it wasn't like, I'm going to build a business or like, you know, I wasn't even at that capacity. I was like, I just want to keep doing this thing because it feels so good. It feels so right. It feels like, this is what I'm meant to do. And it turned into a business through that. And so I look back and, you know, one of my early childhood memories that I have was I used to watch these E! True Hollywood Stories. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I heard of them. I think I watched one or two. Yeah. Okay. So yeah.
It would be like, you know, it'd be like some famous person or whatever that you would know. And they would flash back through all of the things that they went through growing up and like the hardships and all that people told them they couldn't do anything, you know?
Right.
And I remember watching them and I would watch them growing up as little girl when I was, you know, really like struggling with my own self-worth, when I was struggling to feel like I was good and valid. I had a difficult relationship with my mother growing up. And so on those nights, I was like laying in bed, like really wondering if I was some of the mean things that I was told I was as a kid.
Oh, wow.
Like these E! True Hollywood Stories would like give me so much hope, because I would be like, one day I'm going to get to be like that story, right? One day I'm going to get to say, hey, no one thought I would amount to anything. No one thought I would do anything. You know, all these, you know, things happened to me when I was a kid, but I'm going to get to show other women. And I remember thinking this as a little kid, and I'd be like, I'm going to get to show other women that regardless of what their circumstances are, regardless of the things that they've had to live through, or if they had people that believed in them or could help them or support them, you know, that they can do whatever they want with their lives. And so I feel like that kind of came back to me at that point in my life when I was doing that. And I was like, this is what I'm really here for. And it's been nonstop ever since. It's been obviously a huge evolution, as it is, right, with anything that you teach.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. You're always evolving. We're always, always, always evolving. I do find, I think it's interesting that you found it, you know, just by starting the vlog, because I started it by journaling. And when I was journaling, little did I know that was my first book. That didn't even enter into my mind. I didn't even know what my journaling was to do at the beginning. I just wanted to get, I just felt this urge. It's this urge you just feel.
Yep.
And it's like your soul is just saying, okay, now's the time. You're ready.
And, absolutely.
And things come out of it. I don't think we allow ourselves the time to even feel these urges.
You know, I also think it's such a gift, like when you started your journaling and I was doing the blog, and at the time, again, it kind of was like an online journal for me because it wasn't like for that business mindset. It was almost like a really beautiful like naivety and purity of it just being able to be, I don't know what this is for. I just know this is what I need to do right now. And I'll figure, you know, I'll figure it out.
I
would get the joy from doing it right now. And I feel like that is something that nowadays is a lot, I think has gotten a lot more convoluted. Like I'm so grateful for the naivety I had at that moment, because I see now, I see so many people, because we live in that world where a blog is a business or you have to write the book or there can be a lot of people putting a lot of pressure on themselves.
Yes. Trepidation. Yeah. Yeah. They have that. Oh, but I'm not good enough syndrome. And then, it can hold them back. So when you're helping women and you're helping them to, why just women, you know, why are their fears different than men?
I work with women because I personally, I feel like I know that journey way more intimately than a man.
I get that.
I could absolutely, you know, you could use these techniques on men for sure. I just like to specialize in what I really, really know. And as women, we do have different things. I like to think if we have incarnated in a female identifying body in this, you know, for this life, we have certain lessons that we work through. One of the biggest ones that I work through with women is on receiving, right?
That is a big one.
We're getting our MBA, our master's degree in receiving.
Yes, we are. We are. A lot of us have trouble with that receiving thing. We really do. And yet we don't understand that if we are empty, we really aren't giving what we think we're giving.
Right? I mean,
you know, yeah.
It's so
we can't.
We're meant to give from an overflow cup, you know, and right. It's exactly what you mentioned. And because I also teach A Course in Miracles, and you mentioned the law of receiving, right? And
yes.
A Course in Miracles, as they say it, to give is to receive. They are one in truth.
Yes.
And
one flow.
It's one flow. And
it's
so
one flow.
Oftentimes we get depleted because we're giving and we're giving, but we're forgetting to make the space to receive.
Yes.
Right? We're forgetting
yes.
to allow ourselves to receive.
And there it is. That's the key. Allowing. We don't allow. You know, and I'm going to put it in a simple term, you know, and I've seen myself do this in the beginning when my boys, I'll be doing the dishes or whatever. And of course I'm doing them my way because I have my own special way. And the boys will come or one of my boys will say, can I help you? No, I've got it. But yet I'm exhausted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then yep. I'm thinking I'm always doing all the work.
Right.
And
right.
Yeah, so what could have turned, now let's move that forward. So now when the boys come up, if I'm lucky enough to have them come up, because they're all on their own now, pretty much, they're all doing their own thing. But when they say, Mom, let me help, and I'll say, sure, you get the towel. You know what happens? All of a sudden, the whole dynamic changes. And because he's helping me, we end up with conversations that we never, ever have. It's time together, those unstructured times that he opens up the most to me. It is a circular motion, but you have to be open to receiving. And that's where the magic happens.
So much magic. And
yeah.
especially in the male-female dynamic with, yeah. because as much as we need to receive, men love to give. And
yes.
so I see this time yes. and time again, like doing this in like with your partnership or with this brother or a guy, like if, especially when you notice this with men, you can obviously do this with women too, because we go both, we can do everything. But men really come alive when you let them give.
Yes.
Right?
They
feel really good when
yeah.
you accept it. And I love what you said. I think that's such a big lesson for women to learn, is that, you know, it's okay if they're not going to do it exactly as you
oh,
would.
Oh, what does it matter
right?
in the scheme
of
things?
Let them do it.
Yeah, just let them do it. Because, you know, it makes it, like I said, it creates something different. And you feel, it raises your own self-worth too.
Exactly.
It helps you to see, because if you can open to receiving, then you feel like you're worth getting things.
Mm-hmm.
And that is big. That is very big. And it can help you in every area of your life.
Exactly. And that's one of the things I see with the women that I work with a lot. I call them root healings, right? It's
yeah.
like a lot of us have these roots that need to be healed. And between, you know, it's usually sometime before age 12 or
yeah.
whatever, something
yeah.
happened. And it was yeah. likely, I call it little T trauma, because it's not like the big T, like, you know, some people have big T trauma, of course, but all of us have these little T traumas where it's
trauma.
Like you did, you know, I don't know, you were in the school play and your dad had a meeting that day and he couldn't show up or whatever. And you made it mean, you know,
yeah.
and being older, you're like, you kind of understand the dynamics of the parent now, but at that age, you made it mean something. And we all have these like weird little moments that happen, right? Where we made it mean
exactly.
like, oh, like no one shows up for me, or I'm not supported, or I'm
yes.
not good enough, or I'm not worthy. And we all have some degree of some little root mess to clean up. And just like you said, a lot of the work I do really, and women especially have,
mm-hmm.
you know, that the, like, I'm not good enough, or, you
yep.
know, I can't be loved as I am. I can't speak my truth and be loved. We
yes.
have our own little things. And what happens is, just like you said, it infects every area of our life. And
everything.
We don't even realize it because it's so insidious.
It
and
is.
Then we translate it as like, oh, well, I'm just scared to start my business, or I'm just scared to for this or whatnot. We don't realize that it's like, well, it's actually, it's way more than you just being scared to speak your business. You're scared the reason that we feel that fear so intensely, or we feel that resistance or that block, is oftentimes because we feel that we're not going to be loved, or we're not going to be accepted, or we're not good enough, right?
And we're not good enough, right? Exactly. Yeah. No, it is. It very much. And it's all, well, I always speak as a, of the, you're dealing mostly with the first chakra, the things that they learned in childhood, you know, all in our energy field. For those listening, the first chakra is energy. We have energy. Energy that keeps us well. They're circles of energy at certain points in our body. And our grounding one, the one that grounds us to how we perceive the world, is our root chakra. And what is that all involved with? That's everything that you learned when you were a kid. And from parents, teachers, friends, the experiences you had with friends, you know. And the good thing is that we have good things we've learned.
Absolutely.
That are stored in there and build our character and build our warmth and build the higher self of us. And then we've got these other things that we learned that we perceived or really were not good. And with that, it forms our character. And sometimes the fear, that's where the fear starts. A lot of fear. And women do have a unique thing because we are told so many different things. You know, we're told when we're growing up, it's very confusing messaging. I can only say this because I am a woman. My boys, I have three boys, and I don't think I'm messing up the messaging too much. But I do know. I try not to, you know. And they're pretty easy in some ways. You know, they like to be fed. That's a good thing, you know. And they do like to be fed. But this quarantine, I really have noticed how much food we are going through. But they're pretty laid back in a lot of ways. And they're pretty easy going. And it's great because they easy go me, type A personality. Slow down, Mom. So I do. But the women, when I remember growing up, there were. And it wasn't just my mom. It was everything in school. It was the other girls that's saying, oh, no, you shouldn't do that. Oh, yes, you should do this. No, you shouldn't do that. Oh, that's too short. No, that's not too short. The conflicting crap we had going on, what it does is it sets up this insecurity about ourselves. And that insecurity, and that, I think that insecurity then leads to the worthiness issue.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think as women, we get slammed with a lot of media messages, right?
In
both directions of how
Twiggy.
We should, you know, like how we should be, how we have to look like. This is sexy. No, this is sexy. No, this is what you want to be like for the being the wife. No, this is what you want. And then, you know, even just in society, like, you know, I see this and it's so interesting navigating it now. I have a 9-year-old stepdaughter and I obviously work and I'm hugely passionate about my career. And that's like a big part of like my life. And her mother doesn't work. And, you know, just like is stay at home, takes care. And I see it in her having such a conflict about needing to know, like, is this right? Or is this right? Or who's doing it right? And we're both, I'm always just saying like, we're just different, right? We're just making our choices. And you talk to your mom about why she made that choice. And you can talk to me about why I make this choice right now.
Exactly.
And you get to decide that choice when it's your time in a really long time. And you don't got to worry about that choice.
That's
right,
right.
Now.
All
but it's
come.
So hard. You know, I see it and it's I see hard. The hurt. And I'm like, it's, you know, there are even when you think about those conflicting messages, and I wouldn't even say that's like a negative conflicting message, right?
No, it's
just
not.
Like seeing that there are so many different options and being trying to figure out what is my role in those really early years.
And like, we always want to know. We really do.
We want to know. Yeah.
We always want to know. And that's the thing. We always want to grow up so fast. And it does. We do get. So when we're all grown up, I don't know. Sometimes I think the feistiness gets out of us. The free will thinking gets thought out of us. The ideas, the imagination. We get kind of beaten down in some ways.
Yeah.
And because maybe that imagination, maybe the nuns in school didn't like that imagination so much. Maybe the on the job, they didn't like all my innovative ideas when I was 15 or whatever. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
All these things that we've been told, no, 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 basically. And it's chopped away. And I think by the time we get to be in our grown-up years, that's when we start to hesitate with things. That's when we think twice. That's what doesn't give us the lion heart. The lion heart is what we need. And we're not. We're more like a rabbit. And so how do we get, I mean, I know how I work with people. I want to know what you do to bring out the lion heart again, that loving woman, not woman, female lion that is loving and caring and absolutely beautiful in all her glory, but has the confidence and the strength to conquer whatever she wants to conquer. Where is she?
Yeah. So I think it's beautiful. And I think it's, you know, once someone finds someone like us or finds someone to be like, okay, I'm ready to go on this journey. Yes. That's a huge step, right? The huge step is just,
that's a humongous step.
Willingness to say, I know that there is, you know, was it Glennon Doyle Melton calls it a cheetah? Like, I know that, like, I'm a gosh darn cheetah inside.
Oh, I love
and,
that.
Like, I want to let her out. And, yeah. And having that willingness, I think, is the absolute first step. And then for me, a lot of that process, whether it's working with me or just like for someone to do on their own, would be to open up that spiritual connection to a higher power, to their soul, yes, to God, to the universe, love, source. I say, I don't care what name you give it, but opening up that connection to the truth of who you really are, like your own divinity, your innate divinity inside of you, and reconnecting with that soul. And I think, you know, that can look like one, just again, having that offering, having that willingness. I want to remember, right? I want to remember the truth of who I am. I want to have an intimate relationship with the truth of who I am and my own divinity. And I think things like a daily meditation practice with that demand and that intention is incredibly powerful. Journaling, like you said, is incredibly powerful. When someone gets into my forte, then I do energetic root healing. Well, we'll go back and I'll do like a kind of a hypnosis meditation where we go back to the memories in their childhood where they had those kind of breaches, right? Where they made something mean, you know, something that has infected a whole strain of their life.
Yes.
And
yes,
we just reprocess it together.
I think we're going to stop right there for just a minute for a break, because I would love for her to talk more about this, because it's important, you know, when we fill our cup and we can struggle along on one leg, but it's much easier to have two, don't you think? You're listening to Magical Moments, and I'm your host, Elena Chapman. Be right back.
This is Magical Moments with Elena Chapman, helping you find your ease and betterment. Stay tuned for more of this week's featured interview.
All right, so Cassandra, we're here talking to Cassandra, and this is Magical Moments. And of course, you know me, I'm your host, Elena Chapman. But I'm really into this conversation, folks, because this is cool. So we're talking about starting to heal those energies that diminished you. And then Cassandra does what I do in so many ways, and that's connecting to your soul. And why do we want to connect to our soul? My gosh, because that's the true essence of us. And as soon as we learn that we are a spirit within a body versus a body with a spirit, then you understand how important the soul is. Everlasting, the body will fade. But that soul, guys, how we live in this life evolves that soul. So what do we want to do? You know what I mean? We are that incredible spirit. So Cassandra, with that, we were just starting to talk about how we heal some of these wonderful things that made us not feel like the soul we truly are, the spirit we truly are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love what you said. It is true. It's going back to that, reconnecting with that soul and allowing yourself to live from that place, allowing yourself
yes.
to live from that guidance. I feel like that is, you know, if that's one thing you take away from this, that could be game changing in your life. If you can courageously follow the directions of your soul, if you can be in touch with your soul, your life will shift. You know, the other things like that we were talking about doing, we're healing these different things that happen in childhood, whether it's through energetic clearing, whether it's through going into a meditation or a hypnosis and seeing your childhood self and being able to look at that situation now through your current consciousness and being able to reconcile it. Because what I like to say is what happened in childhood is that, you know, that your memory kind of got lodged on top of your brain, let's say. This is not, but it didn't fully integrate like it does now, you know. Now, as a full-grown woman, adult, whoever you are, you can walk down the street, a homeless person could shout at you, say something really mean, and you file it under, okay, homeless person, and you don't, you know, and maybe mentally unstable, and your adult brain can make that not mean that was true about you, right?
Yeah.
As a child, you know, I'm not saying maybe that happened to you as a child, but like, you know, you could have a teacher or another kid at the playground say something, but your childhood brain was like, oh my God, he told me I was a loser. So you're like, I'm a loser, right? And now you're like, here, and like, I'm a loser.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And now you're a grown adult. And you don't consciously think I'm a loser, but you have these feelings of I'm not good enough. And so going back to that moment, and it sounds kind of simplistic, but so few of us actually do this work, right? Of taking a log of those moments, right? Of really getting clear on like, what are the good thing about these moments, because they're unprocessed, is that they're kind of hanging out there. We remember that, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Right? And so
of course
so
that we do. They affect our life from there on in.
Right. And so if you can go through those and like go back and in your meditation, see your little kid self in that moment and go and comfort your little kid self. And you might have to do this multiple times, right?
Yep.
But this work will shift you on a fundamental level, because you go in there and you go and you say, You're so beautiful. You are so lovable. You know, Timmy is frustrated because he lost the kickball game. It has nothing to do with you, you know, and you have a moment of reconciliation on it, where what you're doing is essentially you're helping your brain now file that in the right cabinet.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so when we get triggered by things in our life, right. And I don't know if you use that languaging.
Okay. I actually use good triggers too, because we can create good triggers. Yeah.
I love that. So when we get a negative trigger, I like to think that it's just because something that happened in our current reality, like scratched like a past wound.
Right.
Right. Ready to be moved. So a great way to just go about it, if you want to just start, someone's listening, wants to start playing with this, notice the next time something scratches a wound and just be curious, right? Instead of going into whatever that emotion is or whatever you're triggered by, say, okay, wow, so-and-so said that. That really triggered me, or that really like put me out of my peace, put me in a weird space. Let me see, what does that bring up for me? Why? Yes. Right? Why? I had a disproportional, maybe emotional reaction to something, but it feels true to me, even though consciously maybe I know it's a little disproportional. And so that's a great hint. And then you look into it and you're like, oh, well, actually, you know, it reminded me of that one time that so-and-so said that when I was 5, or it reminds me of when my mom was saying this, or whatever it is, you know?
Uh-huh.
And then doing that work to say, okay, well, why don't I go back, instead of trying, so often we try to deal with the current present trigger. Right, we try to deal with that one.
Can't do that.
That's not really the problem.
No, it's not. It's inside. It's inside. Yeah.
Yeah. And so,
I love it. I love it. And what it does for you, really. So people say, "All right, so then I have it in the right place, whatever." But you're not. That's not the full picture. The full picture is, all of a sudden, then when that happens again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. This past weekend, it was funny. My mom was over. My mom's losing her memory, right? The listeners on the station know my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my mom knows that I'm talking about her all the time, but we are on. But my mom, you know, she's losing her memory a little bit, and I had a really good friend staying over. Now, we've done a lot of work, my mom and me, because I was in the same boat as you with my mom. In fact, we've had a lot of similarities, my dear. So So, but when she was here and when she left, my friend said, oh my gosh, she just kind of discounts you all the time. Just like what you say isn't important all the time. And I said, really? I hadn't noticed.
Yes.
Do you see? All of a sudden, you cannot change other people, folks. You can't even change some of the stuff that's thrown at you. But what you can control, because you've done the work to get over the triggers and the things that the memories that are not so good, that it just doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't matter. And you know what? That is like lifting 100 pounds off your shoulders every day.
Absolutely.
That's how incredible it is. Yeah,
absolutely. And what it is it's because you change your fundamental beliefs. So it's like,
yes.
Because that's no longer a belief or whatever, you know, that you're not worthy of being counted, whatever you want to call that belief is.
Right. Oh, my mom's hurting me again. Oh, my mom's hurting me again. No. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. Not even in the computer system.
It's not even there.
It. It's like, you know, I think the best way to describe, one of the ways I like to describe it is like, if you think about something like how you have brown hair, right? If someone came up to you and was like, you have purple hair, right? You wouldn't be like, do I have purple hair? No, you would just be like, no, you know, right?
Yeah, and what glasses are you wearing today?
Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you get to be like that because you're so like, you know, as sure as you are the color of your eyes and the color of your hair or whatever it is or what your name is, you know, as sure as you are these basic things, you become that sure of your innate value or of your innate worthiness, of your innate goodness or, you know, kindheartedness, right? Which,
exactly.
Like you said, it literally transforms everything in your life.
You know, it really does. And folks, it's funny. Things don't bother you. I remember my friend Jackie, I was actually we were in New York. Traffic was horrible. And we were supposed to go to NBC. And I needed to do an interview, okay? I know you've been on a lot of stuff too, so you know what it's like. You're supposed to be there, period. So, but we're in all this traffic. And she is like climbing the freaking wall. Me, I'm doing a Facebook Live saying, hey, here we are. When we got there, she goes, my God, you just don't phase. You just don't phase. I said, well, we're here. We got it. Yeah. Why worry so much when you're already moving? You're already, you know, what I'm trying to say is you start to see difference in the life. Life changes, and that's when the magic starts to happen.
Exactly. And, you know, just to bring it back to the whole, like, the law of attraction and the magic and all that happening, right, is that I think, like you said, when you get into that kind of state, right, which to you now is relatively effortless, let's say most days, maybe there's
something. Living by your soul, actually.
Right?
It is. It's living by your soul. Yeah.
Right. When you're in that space, then all of a sudden now you are magnetic. You are magnetic for things because you're no longer resisting things.
Exactly.
Because now you're a vibrational match for whatever you want. When you were talking about ease and flow earlier, which I love, those are my two favorite words ever. And how do we get into ease and flow? We need to be in ease and flow for to experience ease and flow. And so in those moments where you're at peace, right? Because you're in that space.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden things can just happen for you.
That's right.
Right?
See what? Yeah. That's very clear. If we are being bogged down by the trigger or by all these little things in us that are saying, oh, you can't do that. Oh, you get that crazy monkey mind. That's what I call it. And when you are dealing with that all the time, that's what offers resistance, folks. That is what Abraham Hicks is talking about. That's the resistance. So here I'm going, okay, I'm going to have this fabulous career. I'm going to travel around the world. Oh, but I really am. I'm scared of planes. Oh my gosh. But I have to take care of this. Oh my gosh. I've got this. And you just chink, chink, chink right in that line. You just start putting resistance all the way through. That's what stops your law of attraction. That's what stops everything coming from. You have to free yourself of these things. And that's really what it is all about. And then you start living from your soul, because then everything is goodness and you start seeing opportunities, but you're living in this fantastic world of just, you're incredibly grateful and you feel like you're so connected. You can hear your soul. You don't hear the crazy monkey mind anymore. You hear the soul. Yeah. And that's what we're talking about.
That's when all of a sudden people's lives change, right? Because that's when you're like, oh, I'm guided to do this different thing career-wise. I'm guided. I'm showing up in my relationships differently, right? Everything about how we go about our lives shifts. And we get to be the fullest expression of our soul here.
We do. And that's what it's about. Hey, I know that you're really good with meditations. I love meditations. And I know you have a quick one for people. I would love for you to share that, for them to just start to get themselves centered so that they can deal with the triggers, right? And they can deal with this stuff. Could you do a short meditation for us?
Yeah, let's do a short one. We'll do a short one of connecting to our soul. How about that?
Okay. That's perfect. I love that.
All right, so let's close our eyes, except if you're listening to this while driving, then please just listen to this later.
But
close your eyes. You'll still feel the good vibes if you're listening to this while driving, so it's fine. And just start taking some nice deep breaths in your nose, out your mouth. And just allow your breath to help you tune into your energy, into your space today. Just notice where you're at. Notice how you feel in your body, in your energy, in your breath. Then we're just going to use our exhale to release any tension, allowing our shoulders to melt down, our forehead to soften, and more spaciousness in our being. And any thoughts that arise, just let them float on by like clouds, noticing them and just bringing your attention back to your breath. And I want you to visualize a beautiful ball of golden light at the core of your being. And just start breathing into that beautiful ball of golden light inside of you. The seat of your soul, that spark of divinity within each and every one of us. Just allow yourself to use your breath to connect to it. And allow it to expand and grow larger and larger. And with each breath, you see its beautiful golden light covering more and more of your being until you're fully surrounded in a beautiful cocoon of your divine golden inner light. And just allow yourself to breathe into this space. Just feeling yourself entirely held, entirely supported with your own divinity, with the energy of your soul in all of its glory. And within this space, just take a moment to ask for the divine guidance, for whatever you need to hear today, whatever you need to hear in this moment. What does your divinity want to bring to your consciousness right now? And just be open to receive it. And when you're done, when you've gotten whatever message you'd like, and feel free to hang out here longer if you're listening to this on a replay, just take a nice deep breath in and hold it, and just seal your practice with a huge wave of gratitude. Just locking in this connection and this feeling, this open communication now. And exhale. And you can slowly bring yourself back into the room and open your eyes and stretch in whichever way feels good to you.
Repeat that was really nice. And repeat it again. Oh, that was a nice meditation. So now, how, Cassandra, how can people get hold of you if they're interested in learning more?
Yes, you can find me on Instagram at Cassandra Bodzak. I'm on all social medias, just my name, Cassandra Bodzak. My website, also Cassandra Bodzak. So you could just see the spelling on the interview of that.
Why don't you, and also make sure you tell them how to spell your last name just in case they're in the car.
Sure. So it's Cassandra with a C. And then the last name is B-O-D, kind of like Bod. And then Zach, Z-A-K. I always like to say like Zach Morris.
I like that.
So yeah. And I have a bunch of Cassandra Bodzak TV on YouTube, and I have a bunch of free guided meditations for anyone that wanted to get started meditating, inspired today. Don't be shy. Use guided meditations to help you get into the groove of it.
Yeah, definitely. That and journeying. I love that too.
Yes.
So it has been so much fun to have you on. And everyone out there, you know what? That kindness we talked about and that nugget in the beginning, it really starts with being kind with you. And one way to be kind with you is to give yourself a chance. You know, give yourself a chance to take the steps to really say, okay, you know what? I want to live in a higher self of me. I want my boys to have fun with me or my kids. I want my husband or my wife to feel like she's getting the best of me instead of what's left over. And so how do I get rid of some of this stuff inside that tells me no? How do I quiet that crazy monkey critical mind? And this is how you do it. You know, you have to do the work and you got to connect to that awesome, beautiful soul.
Yes.
Oh, Cassandra, thank you for being on. And for everyone out there, as always, stay connected to that deep, beautiful part inside of you and people around you as much as possible today. And of course, Source or God, or as I like to call, my beloved. And namaste. Check out soulmanifesto.com if you want to learn more. Namaste.
This has been Magical Moments with Elena, featuring Elena Chapman. If you missed an episode, download it now on iTunes, Spotify, TuneIn, CastBox, Deezer, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast platform. Learn more online at soulmanifesto.com.